Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kaveh Tafai. In as many days, clashes between the Muslim Brotherhood's supporters and opponents have continued in Egypt due to President Mohamed Morsi's assumption of expanded powers. Yet Egypt's president is not backing down from his decision. The latest, Egypt's Supreme Constitutional Court has accused President Morsi of taking part in a campaign against the court. Will Morsi's temporary decree erode the base of his supporters and put the Muslim Brotherhood in danger of losing power? That question and more in this edition of the News Analysis.
Tensions are still high in Egypt. The country's Supreme Constitutional Court has lashed out at President Mohamed Morsi after hearing his reasons for issuing a decree that expands his powers. Under the decree, no authority in Egypt can revoke any decision made by the president.
Since the Supreme Constitutional Court released its ruling denying the constitutionality of the parliamentary elections, it has faced a fierce, organized and unjust campaign led by a certain political current. But the really sad thing that pained the judges of this court was when the President of the Republic joined in abruptly and in a vicious way a long and continuing campaign against the Supreme Constitutional Court.
The Egyptian Cassation and Appeals Court has also announced they will go on strike until Morsi withdraws the decree. Meanwhile, protests against Morsi's decree are continuing on the streets. The protesters insist that the presidents annul the declaration.
There is no way out of this problem unless President Morsi backs down on his constitutional declaration and all of us will go back home. We are also demanding that he fulfill his promises regarding the martyrs' rights.
Morsi has defended the decree, saying it is only aimed at protecting the revolution. These scenes are reminiscent of the 2011 revolution that against ex-ruler Hosni Mubarak. But there is a key difference. The nation is now almost divided, with opponents of the elected president pitted against his supporters and the police. The violence has left several people dead and scores more injured. The supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood, on whose ticket Morsi won the election some 6 months ago, are planning to hold nationwide rallies in support of the president on Saturday.
We support Mohamed Morsi's fair and correct decisions, and eventually the good from the bad will be distinguishable. We support Dr. Morsi for a better life for Egyptians.
Despite mounting pressures, Morsi is still sticking to the decree. But the next few days will be decisive for Egypt, as the nation seems to be polarized over the issue, with opponents accusing Morsi of monopolizing power, while his supporters argue the decree is necessary to prevent the judiciary from blocking the goals of the revolution.
Well, let's discuss this with our guests. Let me introduce them first. Founder of Egyptian UK Association, Mustafa Ragab, joins us from London. We have former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst James Jatras, who joins us from Washington. And political activist Hisham El-Batal joins us from Egypt's capital, Cairo. Gentlemen, welcome. James Jatras, let me first start with you. More than 200,000 opposition protesters in Tahrir Square. Muslim Brotherhood offices burned down. So far, three dead, many injured. And the same chants used against Mubarak now being used against Morsi. This is the biggest challenge yet to him. How is this going to cost him, do you think, and in effect, the Muslim Brotherhood?
I think there are several elements to this. One is, who is supporting these protests? What political forces do they represent? Are we talking about people who are primarily let's say proponents of a secular, liberal, democratic order for Egypt? To what extent are these protests being fed by the so-called deep state, the remnants of the Mubarak government in the military and elsewhere? In any case, I don't see much prospect that they can actually cause Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood to lose power. On top of that, I would like to point out that the support of the United States for the Muslim Brotherhood of the Obama administration is still very strong. The Obama administration has put itself in a position where it has invested an awful lot of political capital in Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood, as we saw recently on the crisis between Israel and Hamas. From the point of view of the Obama administration, the Muslim Brotherhood is the only viable alternative to going forward a moderate, democratic, Islamic voice for Egypt. So I think the Obama administration will continue to support Mr. Morsi, and despite some disagreement with some of his tactics, and that it's hard to see how these protests can result in his losing power.
Mustafa Ragab, do you agree?
Since Mr. Morsi came to power, he's been coming up with some good work. But on the other hand, immediately after this good work is done, he come up with some sudden decisions that cause a lot of trouble on the streets of Egypt. No one can agree that the decisions that has been taken with Mr. Morsi is right. It's absolutely wrong. People are supporting this are only the Muslim Brotherhood. They thinking by supporting Mr. Morsi, they will remain in power. This is actually harming the credibility of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mr. Morsi should have the right advisor, the correct advisor, in order to avoid coming up with these decisions that cause unrest and more life loss in Cairo. It's not to anybody's advantage, but you can see that it's causing a lot of trouble. And also, we don't agree with the reaction of the political parties in Egypt and the way they handle crisis, because two wrong don't make a right. You don't go out to the streets of Cairo and encourage people to come up and demonstrate in this way, because the Egyptian people have not been trained to demonstrate correctly. They have always been prevented from demonstrating and exercising their rights. So now when they have the chance, they go out in the streets and do it wrong and destroy the capital and harm people, which is the incorrect work. We don't agree with Mr. Morsi's decision, but we ask the people in Cairo and in Egypt in general to handle this crisis in the right manner in order for Egypt to come up safely from this trouble.
Well, let's get your thoughts, Hisham El-Battal. I'd like to reflect on a statement that's made by Amr Adarag, who's from the Freedom and Justice Party, and he's the Secretary General of the Constituent Assembly. Now, he has said the court would dissolve both bodies as it did with the parliament's lower house in June. And he said, if these dissolution verdicts are handed down, we will be left only with a president and without a parliament or constituent assembly. Does he have a point there?
Well, before I start talking about this, I would like to comment on what Mr. James and Mr. Mustafa said. First, we will have to start with a numerical analysis to get to know better the things, what is happening in Tahrir Square. Yesterday, those people who gathered in Tahrir Square were members of true political revolutionary groups like the Sect of April. But the percentage of those people was I don't have concrete statistics about this, but let me tell you that due to eyewitnesses, those people who participated yesterday were gathered from different governorates of Egypt belonging to the dissolved National Party. And, let me also confirm the fact that the Orthodox Church has mobilized a lot of its followers to participate yesterday, according to news coming from within. So, and the numbers gathering in Tahrir Square yesterday were, according to Egyptian numbers, or to some bodies and some organs in the Egyptian government, were 14,000. According to Fox News, the American Fox News, they were 200,000. So, talking about forcing the president, the Egyptian president, to leave because of some protests that burst after this constitutional declaration is not logic at all.
Well, there's many who actually disagree with that. For example, let's take a look at how some are saying, this is the opposition now, that the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi have used election victories to monopolize power. And in particular, I'd like to get your reaction about this a law that was issued after his decree that has to deal with the Egyptian Trade Union Federation, in which Morsi has come out and issued a law that, according to it, the manpower minister who is affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, is actually now appointing workers who are members of the group in leadership positions.
Well, look, for after any revolution, after the burst of any revolution in the world, there have to be some exceptional measures to protect this revolution. For 2 years, we've lived under the pressure of the judiciary, the trials that were that led to nothing, the trial of the president, of the ousted president, that led to give him only a sentence of 25 years just by convicting him only of ignoring or neglecting the duty of protecting the Egyptian people. So we're being fought for 2 years. The Egyptian revolution is being fought for 2 years now by the judiciary.
Okay,
even I'll tell you, as a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. Let me tell you this point. The Constitutional Court of Egypt does not have the right, according to its law, even to dismiss or to remove even an office boy.
Well, let's
and the measures and the times for laying a sentence or for sentencing is that may take like 10 years in one case. In 3 days, the Constitutional Court issued a sentence dissolving the parliament. This is not logic. We are being fought by the remnants of Mubarak.
Okay, your point
so
well
the
taken.
The president had to take some
your point
extraordinary.
Well taken. Very well. Your point well taken. James Dutras, maybe it's a good time to get your idea, and of course, in reaction to our guest there, about this decree then, which to make his decisions, Morsi's decision, immune to judicial review, basically putting him above the law. Now, we know that. But to bar courts from dissolving the Muslim Brotherhood-controlled assembly, drafting a new constitution, I mean, what does that show? Of course, the point by our guest there from Cairo is well taken, that there have been efforts being made to prosecute some of the higher officials, which still has not come into fruition.
I think we can look at these from two different perspectives. To start with, law is a mechanism for holding and using power. In countries with a very strong tradition with the rule of law, with a low level of corruption, one can take the law very seriously and say the law says this, the law says that, we must observe the law. In countries where that is not the case, where there is a high degree of corruption, where power is abused, it should not come as a surprise that people take shortcuts around the law, take a cavalier attitude toward the law, and use the law where it suits them and violate the law where it suits them. I think looking at a revolutionary situation in Egypt, it's not surprising to think that Morsi and the Brotherhood will behave in an essentially, I would say, Leninist manner to consolidate revolutionary gains, to isolate political forces hostile to them. And the question of law is a somewhat technical and fictitious one in this context. And I think anybody who believes differently is kidding himself.
Mustafa Ragab, I mean, there's people who have come out in this, and of course the opposition mainly saying that you don't need to put yourself above the law to do this. But Morsi and his supporters are saying the decree was necessary in order to prevent the judiciary from blocking the revolution's goals of a transition to democracy. Why don't you tell us, how will the judiciary actually do that? I mean, is this in reference to figures, as Mohamed Morsi has said in a speech outside the palace, who are figures who are hiding behind the judiciary? I mean, who are these figures?
You would expect the Muslim Brotherhood to say that and to say this is necessary for the time being, but nobody should be above the law. It should never be a one-man band show. Mr. Morsi not just made himself in full control, he gave himself full immunity. No one can ask him, no one can reject or can object to any of his acts. This should never be the case anywhere in a third world country or anywhere in the world. The law should be the law. And he's stuck now. He's actually in a very, very difficult position because he's gone back on his decision before. And if he's gone back on his decision again, that will really damage him a lot in his position. So he should learn, Mr. Morsi, with the lack of experience as a president. It's a very sensitive position, and the Muslim Brotherhood should be very, very careful in supporting the wrong decisions, because we're going to end up with what is happening in the streets of Cairo now, and it might have got worse. We were pleased to hear that the Muslim Brotherhood have cancelled their demonstration yesterday, because that would have been a disaster. You can't have a demo in one square in Sabout and a demo in the next door square to oppose the act. And it's only one street dividing them. And if they get together, that would be a disaster. You know, they shouldn't play with people's life. They shouldn't play with the future of Egypt. And if they protect the revolution, really, if they respect the aims of the revolution, that should never happen. You cannot say, I'm canceling the law. I am going to gain power on everything to protect the revolution. There is courts of law. If there is corruption in the courts of law, then that should be put right. Not by gaining all power in one hand. That is absolutely wrong.
I'm still trying to get an answer. Hisham Al-Batal, perhaps you can enlighten us on that. Who is Morsi referring to, or what is he referring to when he says, I'm protecting the revolution, I'm protecting Egypt from remnants of the old regime? Tell us who these people are. Tell us how Egypt is being protected through Morsi putting himself above the law through this decree.
First, we are protecting ourselves and the revolution against the remnants of the Mubarak regime. We are protecting Egypt against the international interference asked by some of the opposition sects, like Dr. Al-Barali, for example, who was awaiting, according to his words, who was awaiting for an American, a very strong statement of condemnation by the USA and Europe. And we are, of course, we are protecting Egypt. President Morsi has protected Egypt against those who are whose intentions are doubted, like Mr. Baradi and Mr. Hamdine Sabah and the other opposition sects. And according concerning the constitutionality of the constitutional declaration, let me tell you something. After the dissolution of the parliament, Mr. Morsi has all the powers, the legislative power, and the executive one. So what he has done by issuing this declaration was, according to the law, is completely, and you are hearing this point of view from a legal, from a jurist, what he has done is completely legal and completely according to the Egyptian constitutional customs, let me say.
Okay, well, we're having our guest there in London shake your head. Go ahead, Mustafa Raghab.
I don't think anybody is protecting the revolution or the people in Egypt. They're protecting themselves, not the revolution. You don't do these things and say protecting the revolution. We will have to face the fact that the people in Egypt did not vote for Mr. Morsi as a president. The vote was against, not for. People who voted for Morsi, they were voting against Shafiq. And people who voted for Shafiq were voting against Morsi. But the Egyptian people, as a matter of fact, didn't want any of them. And there was a lot of other people who could have been good for the time. But unfortunately, the Egyptian people ended up with Morsi and Shafiq, and they voted against, not for. But now we have a president that has been elected in office. We will respect that, but we're also expecting the president to take the right steps and the right decisions to take the country forward. Can you tell me how Egypt was progressing since the revolution or since the president was elected? All what we've seen is trouble in the streets of Cairo.
Well, let me jump in and get a response
will
on that.
Finish that.
If I may, and I'm sorry to jump in, but let me get a response to your question from James Jatras.
Yes, you know, we hear a lot about moving the revolution forward or the goals of the revolution and who is obstructing the revolution. This begs the question of what is the revolution and in whose minds? Certainly there are a lot of people, their idea of a revolution was they're going to have some kind of liberal democracy. This is going to be the end of the corruption and oppression of the Mubarak era and the period of the preceding decades. I don't think that is at all the point of view of what the revolution was about in the minds of Mr. Morsi and of the Muslim Brotherhood. The idea of the revolution was not liberal democracy in some abstract sense. It is to consolidate Islamic rule, an Islamic social order, the installation of Sharia law, which will be enshrined in the new constitution, and to create a new social reality in Egypt, which doesn't necessarily have anything to do with any kind of liberal democracy. In that respect, it seems to me that Mr. Morsi is behaving very rationally. He obviously has to be careful tactically, but let's keep in mind, if the remnants of the old regime could not hold on to power, even when they held power, how in the world are they going to regain it now that they've lost it and that most of the world, especially the United States, is effectively politically hostage to Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, Hisham al-Battal, you started out when I asked my first question by how little the opposition in terms of protests were in Tahrir Square. The intro to our program, yes, and based on our reports, 200,000 plus were in Tahrir Square. There's almost every region inside Egypt going through opposition protest movements. Muslim Brotherhood offices are being torched. At what cost is Mohamed Morsi going to go through with this? I mean, there's plenty of opposition there. And let's not forget that Morsi won this election by almost 52%, not by a landslide.
The French president won the elections almost 52%. This is not the question. The question is that you're asking me if the opposition demonstrations will burst in Egypt or not, and this is not going to happen. What was happening yesterday was a fake imitation of our revolution. They wanted to imitate the revolution and to burn the premises of the Muslim Brotherhood's premises, party, the Justice and Freedom, and to demonstrate the people that there are clashes going on on the streets of Cairo. What happened is that the governmental response was very democratic, and they let the people demonstrate because we are after the revolution, we are not before the revolution, we are not belonging to this Mubarak era anymore. Second, I would like to reply to Mr. James Jatras. What is harming you? Why don't you think that this is popular, our people's choice to enshrine the Islamic Sharia law in our constitution? We don't have to imitate. We don't have to copy the American democracy.
James Latrosse, go ahead quickly. Let's get an answer from James Latrosse.
No,
go ahead.
No,
30 seconds.
No, you don't. I did not say you had to copy the American democracy. In fact, I think it's quite unlikely that Egypt will. I think some people, especially in the outside world, entertain the fiction, the hope that Egypt would have some kind of liberal order after Mubarak was gone. Instead, it will have an Islamic order, and it will be essentially an authoritarian government run by the Muslim Brotherhood, and I don't see much prospect for anything different at this point.
We're going to have to leave it there.
And I think the technical question of whether this decree is...
I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Let me thank our guests. We had the founder of the Egyptian UK Association, Mustafa Raghab from London, former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst James Jatrasse, talking to us from Washington, and political activist Hisham al-Battal. Thank you so much for this comments from Cairo. And thank you for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis from Kaveh Tahweh and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.